came in.
Lord have mercy.
Mother, oh, Father, I love
I gotta let this play a little bit.
Yeah.
And when was the last time that they heard you say, "Daughter or son, I love you"? Once you say you cherish every day, can instantly be taken away. Then you say, "I know this can't be true," when you never took the time to simply tell them I love you. When was the last time that they heard you say, "Sister or brother, I love you"?
Boy, that's a great choice. Thank you. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And my guest has arrived early, and I'm really excited about having him in the studio. You know, Sam, you know what he said when he first walked in the studio?
No.
He saw Satan run out of the...
Well, we are the devil's advocates, after all.
Because it's so hot in this room.
I'm sorry. I cook us. I do. I crank the heat. It's me.
Oh, you turn the heat. Oh, you're
I
the
do.
Person.
It's me.
It's burning up in here. We got to do something.
I'll release my control.
Yeah. Because it's hot in here. Going to get hotter. Because, anyway, I want to welcome... a really good friend, a man I admire and respect immensely, who does so many great things in our community, who has done, you know, great things, will do even greater things, none other than Mr. Aaron Womack. Hey, Aaron, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good. I'm great. Thanks for having me. But don't put that kind of pressure on me, man. You talking about my dad, man? Don't put that kind of pressure on me.
Then you have to stop doing. No, we don't want you to stop doing what you're doing. Because clearly you have been anointed to do the things you do. You know, it's unfortunate. Everybody has the abilities to be a servant, right?
Yes, indeed. And you really don't know what type of servant you are. I think we all can be servants, and we're supposed to be servants, but you really don't know the type of servant you are when you're growing up.
Right.
I didn't think about this thing. We were kind of special that my parents and my mom was especially that kind of servant. I just remember getting clothes and not having the clothes the next day because she's giving them to somebody else.
Right.
Whether it's a stranger, a family member. I remember that when I hit my growth spurt of 6 inches, and the only bed that I could fit into was a water bed.
Right.
And then coming home from my first year of college and then seeing the water bed gone because somebody else needed it.
Right.
And then so I used to be mad, you know, those kind of things. And they were always gone because they were serving other people. And then you get older, you say, oh, OK, she was born to be a servant. So they kind of handed down to me to be a servant. And I don't know if I can do it in that capacity.
But man, for those who don't know, you were an educator for how many years?
27 years.
That's another form of serving.
Yes, indeed.
People don't understand who are not involved in education.
Right.
The sacrifices that educators make, right?
Yeah, you have to, because even if you don't have the mindset of it, but once you get in and you put the work in, you see what this lack of your students in your classroom, you just have to do something. So it starts small, like buying somebody some shoes or making sure they get lunch or, you know, buying pieces for the class. Or I started off, I think, my third year paying for grades.
Yeah.
$20 if you got an A and $15 for a B and $10 for a C. And then when they got to a certain level, then I took the money away and said, I just want you to work for the sake of working it. But it started with that type of entity, and then going to basketball game. I don't know how many churches I've been to, you know, because if my students were excited enough to want to invite me, you have to go. You know, so I've been to all kind of denominations and been to bar mitzvahs and everything. But that's part of being a servant as well, and making sure that you lend a hand as much as you can, because if not for the grace of God, they go, I could be in the same boat.
So you and I were in the same school for the last 4 years or so. And so what are your thoughts, man, when you watch all those babies? Because the school we were in had those babies.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. It's whatever your level of tragedy is, or your definition of tragedy, it multiplied by 10 when you're talking about innocent kids. And just unable to defend themselves, unable to know. You can have all kind of fire drills. You can have tornado drills. You can have Mr. So-and-so's in the building lockdown drills.
Right.
But when it goes live like that, it just, it's crazy. It's stupid, really. Just ignorance. Because you can't, and I don't know if you can put something on it to say, well, this is the way to end it. But I do know we need to do something. I know we need to do something, whether it's a gun ban or whether it's, eliminate certain guns from getting in the hands of people. Let's try something. Will it work? I don't know, but try something.
So is the something that they're going to try putting guns in teachers' hands?
Well,
I mean, again, is that on the list?
Okay. So let me get my teacher hat on. Let's peel it back. Okay. So you look at these tragedies and look the way these ignorant gunmen came into the buildings, and the way they came into the buildings and the way they came and started shooting. How would a teacher affect that? How would a teacher then, get their gun out and be able to stop that? Because if you think about it, guns can't be in a premise. So if you say a certain teacher has a gun, they're going to keep it strapped to their hip. And what if there's a fight and then you lose the gun? What if you make a mistake about a threat and you pull the trigger accidentally? So then you're going to say, well, okay, they can put it in their closet. Okay, if they have to take time to go to the closet, Come on now. Stop it. No, it's not a good idea.
So when you continue to hear people push that, and I knew you were coming, the people who are pushing that aren't educators, right?
No.
These are people who are thinking just off the top of their heads. It is. You think about it. The young children that are in the school that we were just at, and even if you got high school guys and people, fights break out.
Right.
And at having guns sprinkled all throughout.
It's not a good idea.
No.
A kid could get a hold of that gun.
Right.
If it's strapped to your waist and they can unclip it, whatnot. Because if you're trying to break up a fight, then a kid could lose their mind for a little bit and then take that gun. But even that, you hear, okay, there's an intruder. Is that teacher then trained to leave the kids behind and go walk the halls looking for that intruder? No. So you might say, well, then they'll have the gun in the classroom in case they get to that classroom. Well, it didn't solve the problem, the gunmen killing other people. So
we were in the school when they had law enforcement in the school. Is that the answer, to have a bunch of law enforcement in all the schools?
Well, I know there's some schools and some districts have, like they call, the police liaison.
Right.
And it's maybe one resource officer kind of, wandering the building.
They had one there.
Yeah. And look what happened, know. So you talking about things on a smaller scale, but we want to look into things on a bigger scale, and just simply say, put one police officer here. You have traffic cops or police officers on the streets to slow down, drivers, but they're still breaking the speed limit.
Right.
So I don't think that we know what would try to help solve the bigger problem, and which is to get some control on some of the guns.
Yeah. Listen, we've got to go to a break. In the studio, my good friend Aaron Womack. What's the name of your podcast?
An Hour Early.
All right, we're going to be talking about that
when
we come back from the break. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.